hooting, Bert. They're just not moving.
I don't know. This road gets worse every year.
We've been here 20 minutes. What's the hold-up?
I'll find out. Oh, you in front. What's going on?
How on earth should I know? I'll ask that lorry driver in front of me. I say, lorry driver.
What is it, mate?
Why have we been here so long?
I haven't the faintest. Hang on a jiffy. I'll just make some inquiries. Excuse me, madam, do you know what's happening up ahead?
No, dearie.
Well, ask the old boy in front.
Oh, good idea. I'll attract his attention.
You rang, madam?
Yes, what's the hold-up?
I've no idea. I say, young man, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, can't you see for yourself? The traffic lights have jammed.
That was an excerpt from Forever Amber. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Jeremiah Landemore, Lady Amelia Woking Fitzmoulton, Fire Eater, Samantha Parkins, the House of Commons Gypsy Serenaders, Ellery Chingford, Mrs. Edith Swiveltop.
She's got her head screwed on the right way.
To continue, Arthur Lumley Rembrandt, Toastmaster Bert Grudge, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show where the studio audience is always alert, intelligent, and extremely responsive. For my second joke... You nearly killed that one, didn't you? I was going to tell you about Diana Dore's new low-cut evening gown, but the producer wouldn't wear it. So instead, let me tell you some of the things that happened to me last week. On Monday evening, I was engaged in a very hush-hush job. I was babysitting. And on Thursday, well, I needed a change. So, I popped down to Brighton for a couple of days, and the hotel I stayed at was quite fun. In fact, the guidebook not only gave it 3 stars, but 2 exclamation marks. One evening in the cocktail bar, I spotted a glamorous young debutante surrounded by a host of admiring young men, and she seemed to be arranging her evening. Apparently, she was having drinks with Reggie at 7-ish, dining with Peter at 8:30, and dancing with Hillary at 9-ish. And when that was all settled, she surveyed the company and said...
Anyone for 10-ish?
Obviously, the Brighton Belle. However, I came back to town on Thursday to attend a dinner given by the Vegetarian Society, where I was introduced to some very charming people, which rather surprised me, really, because I always thought vegetarians were not very nice to meat. On Friday, I spent the morning gardening, digging, weeding, planting, and laying some crazy paving. My hat, it was tiring, but by 11 o'clock, the window box looked a picture. And I felt I'd earned a cup of coffee. Prudence, Prudence, where's the coffee?
In the tin marked flower, sir.
No, no, I mean my coffee. It's 11 o'clock.
You'll have to wait, sir. I've only got one pair of hands, and they're holding a magazine.
Oh, dear, I might have guessed. Friday is publication day of True Film Star Confessions. I suppose she's reading that. Prudence, what on earth are you doing in the refrigerator?
Oh, sir, there are some hot stories in this week's issue.
Well, come out, you'll melt all the ice cubes, honestly. Well, now, whose autograph photo did you get free this week?
Jack Oakey's. Oh, yes, I've got quite a collection now. In fact, the only one I haven't got is the picture of Anna Neagle as Queen Victoria knighting Frankie Vaughan.
Oh, Prudence, you and your films. I can't understand it.
Oh, dear, sir. You're not a cinema lover, are you?
Well, no, I'm not. Not since that time the usherette flashed that torch along the... Oh, yes. Yes, I see what you mean. Memories of Laura LaPlante. Eh? Well, now tell me, Prudence, is this film magazine of yours really interesting?
Oh, yes, sir. It's full of inside information.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the gossip from the studios. Here, sir. What about Rock Fanshawe? He went and married one of his former wives by mistake. He never would have found out either if it hadn't been for one thing.
Oh, what was that?
He recognised his mother-in-law. Oh, sir. Oh, me illusions are shattered.
Whatever is it, Prudence?
Oh, it's this article revealing the true facts about Clark Gable. Oh, to think that all these years the picture-goers have been misled.
Yeah, but how?
Well, his ears, sir.
What about them?
They're not his own.
Oh. What rubbish. Fancy reading trashy magazines like that. Putin's going to make the coffee.
Oh, all right. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to read the magazine. And by the way, listeners, if you're interested in the tune I'm humming, it's called How to Get from the Kitchen to the Lounge in Sound Radio. Ah, now, here's my favorite chair. Now let's have a look at some more gossip about the film world. What's this?
Jack Hawkins has been asked to do the brothers Karamazov.
The brothers Karamazov have been asked to do Jack Hawkins.
Well, that's enough of that. I think I'll just turn over the page. Ah, what other features does this magazine run? Horoscopes. Horoscopes. Oh, fancy. Look, Dracula's a Sagittarius. Would you believe it? Beauty hints. Oh, this looks interesting. Music notes by our guest columnist. And good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster.
Dear readers, in answer to your inquiries, the haunting song from the film The Ghost of Flask Walk was A Lady Loves. You asked for the words and music, so here they are. A lady loves expensive clothes and pretty jewels and furs and French chapeaux. She loves her lingerie in black, it suits her zodiac. Loves a penthouse where she'll be content to stay. Find little gifts on her breakfast tray. But now and then pack and sail away for a simple Riviera holiday. A lady loves beaucoup l'amour, but first of all she loves to be secure. And she adores the subtle phrase that it's the man who pays. Yet there's one vital thought she will place above all of the things I make mention of. The most of all, a lady loves to love. But when the right man comes along, I'll change the lyric of this song. A lady loves the simplest thing. She loves her dreams tied up with apron strings. There are no yachts in all her plans, just little pots and pans. In the doorway she'll wait for his warm caress, and he'll be handsome, well, more or less. But he will notice that brand new dress, saying, "You look nice, so never mind the price." A lady loves that average guy who just adores her homemade apple pie. The apple pie he knows that she bought in a bakery. When with her goodnight kiss he will be endowed, she'll have him high on a cloud above. For most of all, a lady loves to love.
Jolly nice, Pat. It made good reading. Oh, well, back to the magazine.
Here you are, sir. Here's your coffee. Well, how are you getting on with the film magazine? Have you read Life Stories of the Stars yet? Oh, it's ever so good this week. It tells the true story of Dirk Mills, and it's written by the famous film director, Herbert Philpotts. Oh, go on, sir, read it.
No, I don't think I'll bother.
Oh, go on, sir, you must.
Why?
Well, if you don't, this will be the shortest Beyond Our Ken on record.
Point taken. All right, then. Here we go.
Herbert Philpotts speaking. For 50 years, we in the film industry have been making films. But behind the glittering facade of this celluloid paradise There lies a tangled web of lust, greed, hatred, violence, revenge, corruption, brutality, and intrigue. To name but a couple. The story I am about to reveal is true. Only the plot, characters, and dialogue have been changed to make it readable. It all started one day at Pine Tree Studios, where I was directing a film called The Son of the Sheik Meets the Daughter of Beau Jest. It was a desert film.
Sand, sand, nothing but sand. Grant, my darling, I just can't go on.
Darling, don't give up. We can carry on. Together in the heat of the desert, even without water. We must remember what lies out there ahead for both of us.
If no good, I must have something to drink.
How about a nice cup of tea?
Cut! What's that tea wagon doing in the middle of my desert? I say, you, what's the meaning of this?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Philpotts. It's just that when in the studio, it's so easy to get into the wrong set. Besides, I didn't like the way that chap was acting.
All right, then let's see if you can do any better. Lawyer, take it from your line.
Sand, sand, nothing but sand. Grant, my darling, I just can't go on.
Darling, don't. Give up. We can carry on together in the heat of the desert. Even without water. We must remember what lies out there. Ahead for both of us.
Incredible. You know, you gave those lines a meaning they've never had before. Who are you?
My name is Dirk Millington Hepplethwaite Chumley Snythe.
Good heavens, is that your name? I thought it was a railway station in Wales. Well, of course, we'll have to change that.
Oh, why?
Oh, we can't possibly put that name up in lights. It cost a fortune in light bulbs. No, we must think of something else. Now, where's my publicity agent?
Do you want me, Mr. Philpotts?
Who are you?
I'm Ernie Golightly, your publicity agent.
Golightly? I've never heard of you.
Well, I'm not a very good publicity agent.
No. Well, then why did I hire you?
I'm your father.
Oh. Well, look, Dad, it's this chap here. I want to make him a big name. This is Dirk Millington Hepplethwaite Chumley Smythe.
Sounds as if he's a big name already.
We must have something that the public will remember. A name that will be on everyone's lips.
Well, how about Dirk Moustache?
No, why not just abbreviate it? Make it Dirk Mills.
Dirk Mills. Dirk Mills. Dirk Mills. Where have I heard that name before?
You keep saying it.
So that's where I heard it. Yes, it's a good name. I'm glad I thought of it. Dirk, we are going to build you into a star, and it won't be long before the public will look up at that screen and see so-and-so starring so-and-so with so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so.
And I'll be up there, the biggest so-and-so of them all.
Ernie! Get busy with the publicity. By tomorrow morning, I want this story on every breakfast table.
All right, I'll make it a cereal.
And so in 5 years, he became a star overnight. To women, he was irresistible.
Oh, Dirk, my arms are aching for you. My heart trembles for you. My lips are burning for your hot, passionate kisses.
No, stop nagging.
Dirk,
He was riding high. Parties, gambling, champagne, suppers, darts, outings. His life was one mad gay whirl of excitement. But little did he realize that all good flings must come to an end.
Now listen, Dirk. I want to speak to you about your last picture.
What about it?
It is your last picture. I'm tearing up your contract.
You can't tear up my contract. It's cast iron.
Then we'll melt it down.
Look, Mr. Philpott, Herbert, you just can't forget all those pictures I made for you.
Why not? The public has.
Herbert, please give me a break. I'm only asking for a chance to make a fresh...
God. All right, all right. Just for the sake of old times, be on the lot at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. All right, places everybody for the balcony scene. Take it from your line, Gloria. Action, camera.
Oh, what a breathless night. I have the moon to light my way, the stars to be my friends, the scent of roses to kiss my blushing cheek. What more could I ask for?
How about a nice cup of tea?
Get that tea wagon out of my balcony!
Don't be like that.
Oh, well, that's show business. All you need is a break. And here now are four people ready to break into song. One of these days they're going to find the right key so they won't have to break in. I didn't really mean it. It's the Fraser Hayes Four.
Have you ever been in love, me boys, or have you felt the pain? I'd sooner be in jail myself than be in love again. The girl I loved was beautiful, I'll have you all to know. And I met her in the garden where the pretties grow. Oh, says I'm a pretty cat, I've been, I'm tired of single life. And if you've no objection, sure I'll make you my sweet wife. She answered me right modestly and curtsied very low. Sure you're welcome in the garden where the pretties grow. She was just the sort of creature, boys, that nature did intend. To walk right through the world, me boys, without a Grecian bend. Or did she wear a chignon? I'll have you all to know that I met her in the garden where the lovely pretties grow. So the parents, they consented. Now we're blessed with children three. Two boys just like their father.
And a girl, the image of me.
And now we're gonna train them the way they ought to go. For to dig in the garden where the pretties grow. She was just the sort of creature, boys, that nature did intend. To walk right through the world, me boys, without a Grecian bend. Or did she wear a chignon? I'll have you all to know that I met her in the garden where the pretties grow.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight, we present a close-up on hospitals. Is the routine too strenuous?
And if so, are our patients exhausted? Well, first of all, let's talk to some typical hospital patients. You, sir, what do you think of hospital life?
Well, I've had several operations during the past 6 months. And they've all been most successful.
Oh,
the only aspect I dislike about it are the stitches. But I'm happy to say the hospital have made me a promise.
Oh, what's that?
Well, next time I'm in, they're going to fit me with a ship fastener.
Well, now, let's have a word with this gentleman in the Angora bed jacket. What's the matter with you, sir?
I've got laryngitis.
Oh. Well, shouldn't you be whispering?
Why, it's no secret.
Let's now look at one of the greatest problems with which the hospital patient has to contend. His own vivid imagination, which can and often does, lead to a super-sensitive view of his condition. Take the case of one such patient who happened to overhear a conversation between two hospital doctors. Unluckily for him, he could only catch part of the conversation, and this is what he heard.
I don't like the look of it at all. He doesn't stand a chance. Yes. It's serious, all right. In this hospital, it's pretty hopeless. Yes, a thing like that's got to come out sooner or later. No, he'll be gone by the morning.
Well, as it happens, his anxiety was unnecessary, for this was the actual conversation.
What do you think of the new house surgeon?
I don't like the look of him at all.
Well, he's only been here a week, and already he's after the night nurse.
He doesn't stand a chance.
Of course he doesn't. She's going around with Dr. Brown while they're engaged.
Yes, it's serious, all right.
Mind you, they're trying to keep it a secret.
In this hospital, it's pretty hopeless.
You really think so?
Yes. A thing like that's got to come out sooner or later.
Well, it's just as well he's leaving the hospital. When is it? Next week?
No. He'll be gone by the morning.
In every big hospital, there is, of course, a team of devoted research workers constantly striving to increase the sum of medical knowledge. Let's now take a brief glimpse into one of the most up-to-date and best-equipped research laboratories.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. How's the experiment coming along?
Not too bad, Rodders. Yeah. I think I found the secret now. Would you care to help?
I'd love to, Charles.
Right. Hand me the potassium chloride.
Potassium chloride.
Permanganate of potash.
Permanganate of potash.
Sulfuric acid.
Sulfuric acid.
Right. Now, watch closely, Roddy. We may be on to the brink of something here. I'll just apply the liquid. Yes, I think it's going to work.
Oh, bliss. The blue litmus paper's turned red.
Well, it's good to know that medical research is in such capable hands. And where would we be without the specialists, those brilliant men who know more and more about less and less until they know practically everything about almost nothing? I myself had occasion to visit a specialist the other week.
Here you go, Mr. Horn. Come in, Winthrop.
Thank you. Look, now, I've never consulted you before. Could you give me a rough idea of your charges?
They are very reasonable. For 5 guineas, I listen to your heartbeats. Mm-hmm. For 10 guineas, I listen to your chest. And for 15 guineas...
Yes?
I'll listen to your radio show.
Well, perhaps the BBC will now understand my heavy expense accounts. However, it's a well-known fact that people who have experienced an operation never forget it, particularly women.
Roger.
Yes, darling?
Would you like to see where I had my operation?
I say, rather.
Then stop the car. That's the hospital over there.
Well, now, one of the things which hospital patients miss most is, of course, the companionship of their loved ones. And it's not surprising, therefore, that they should look forward so eagerly to visiting day. For it is then that you can see many a devoted husband sitting attentively by his wife's bedside.
Anne,
Ambrose.
Yes, sweetheart.
Leave me grapes alone.
Yeah, but I'm hungry. Felicity, what have you got in your locker?
Samrav and Edie's homemade cakes.
I'm not that hungry. Well, how are they treating you, old girl?
Very well, Ambrose. I'm enjoying being waited on hand and foot. These 2 weeks have just flown by.
Well, I hope you won't be in much longer. Oh, I've really missed you, darling. Oh. It's not the same without you at home.
Ambrose.
And by the way, Felicity, I bought this for you.
Oh, Ambrose, how thoughtful of you. What a lovely big parcel. What is it?
Last week's washing up.
Finally, let us consider hospital management. From time to time, there have been criticisms of the routine in certain hospitals. So to carry out a full investigation, our commentator, Cecil Snaith, entered one of these hospitals posing as a patient.
Well, here I am, propped up in bed in this elegantly furnished private ward, having managed to sneak in unnoticed. It's spotlessly clean, and there's everything here a patient could wish for. Lovely vase of flowers on the table, grapes at my bedside, books, magazines, and, of course, radio. So far, there's absolutely no cause for complaint, because the whole place has an air of efficiency and well-being. From here, I can hear the nurses in the corridor chatting gaily as they go about their many tasks. Oh, obviously, they're all quite happy here. Naturally, I hope to have a word with them. Well, here come two of the nurses now. They seem to be happy enough. Nurse, do let me share the joke. What is it? Oh. And this is Cecil Snaith from the maternity ward, returning you to the street.
Well, there you are. This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought. When Shakespeare said, "I'll put a girdle round the earth," wasn't he stretching it a bit? Good night.
You have either been listening to, or have just missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Sprout.